If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, it's a lot of fun, so jump on over there. And then, of course, Fantasy Alarm stuff. And now back to my very favorite, the besties. The besties.
Yeah. And another person who's been grinding hard all offseason, my man, Kevin Tompkins. What's up, Kev? What's new in your world, and where could they find you?
You're finding me literally right now on this stream, the Fantasy Besties. But as far as the actual internet goes, you can find me at KTompkinsII. Doing some work with Fantasy Life, the Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life. If you are a member of their Discord, me and Sam Holt are doing a Sunday kickoff hangout from 11 to 11:30 Eastern time. You can find me on the newsletter as well on Sundays doing player matchups. Of course, the Lightning Round podcast with Coop and Britt Flynn and myself. And then also working Fantasy Alarm, doing some little target stuff. You can find that on Thursday. It'll give me a lot of fun.
I told you he's been grinding, folks. Kev is everywhere, man. Kev is really out there doing his thing. And Jordan Loop, talking about out there doing your thing, the man whose graphics have been crushing the Twitter waves, from his SFB Avis to his awesome parody quotes that he's got now going on. Loop, what's up, brother? Say hi to everyone. Where could they find you?
Hey, everybody. Yeah, you can find me at @cantaloop_FF. Mostly just tweeting out nonsense. So if you see something and you think this can't be a real quote, I probably just made that up and posted it somewhere. So double check your sources, please.
And last but certainly not least, the bestie who's so awesome that we only need to call her by one name, our Madonna, our Prince, our Ellen. It's Lindellians. What's up, Linda? What's new? What's going on?
Listen, I did not prepare a monologue to start. You can find me on Twitter at Lindellians and then find everything from there. But mostly I just still talk about kickers an obnoxious amount. And then sometimes I sprinkle in a wide receiver or tight end stat, but it's pretty far and in between. So I'm excited to be back with you guys. It's the first time we're all together since we got to meet face-to-face at the expo. So that's great.
I feel like as far as one name, folks, Linda's more of a seal, right?
All right. I personally liked the Madonna comparison, but
the sad thing is, from that, I actually knew what you were singing.
You're seal.
Could we make a Kiss from a Rose parody by like Kiss by the Upright or something like that for kicker doinks?
Rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, sounds perfect, dude. Linda, you get on that. As the seal of this team, you get on that.
Yeah. It's good to be back, you know. I'm glad to be back in this atmosphere where you guys can just hound me for 45 minutes before Monday Night Football starts. That's good for me.
Unsolicited hounding.
Better here than the group chat.
Yeah, we got some folks in the chat, dude. Joey Wright, JL. What's up, gang? How we doing? Back at it.
Welcome back. Joey Wright is a dude who's been with us from day one. Joey Wright is a Fantasy Besties day one. And he took a picture with us at the expo because he really is kind of like an honorable bestie. JL, what's up, man? It's great. It's great to have everybody checking in with us. So please, if you're here, if you're in the chat, drop something. If you have any questions, drop them in there. And we're going to get into talking about week one because it was a pretty cool week one. I mean, it was a little slow start to those early games, but it ended up being a lot of chaos. And I want to start by doing a little bit of a round robin with what was your favorite thing that you saw so far this week. It doesn't have to be the best player or the best stat line, but what was your personal favorite thing that you saw? Let's start with you, Kev, because I know it wasn't the Packers.
We'll talk about them for sure. But no, I guess it was just a little confirmation of the Jalen Hurts, with the Eagles passing a lot more. AJ Brown just went absolutely nuclear, went all grown ass man on the entire Detroit Lions. That was a really fun game. That was probably one of the best things that I saw, is just knowing that they were the league low or league high in run percentage last season. So you don't go out and get an AJ Brown without wanting to. They told you what they were going to do. They want to pass the ball more, and that's exactly what they did. And AJ Brown just showed that, why he's one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. So that is going to be a very well-established connection. Hurts to AJ Brown all season, barring anything unforeseen.
Yeah, and he looked awesome. And that was a guy that I was finding that I was getting in the third round of fantasy drafts. It was phenomenal, because, you know, me and Coop, we like drafting running backs, unlike the rest of you guys. So, like, if I'm doubling up on running backs to start my draft, I was getting AJ Brown in round three, and I was like, sold. I got a wide receiver one in the third round. I'm good to go. So, love that, Kev. That's a great call, and it was great to see him paying off dividends. What about you, Luke?
Yeah, my favorite thing, I guess, was seeing the Patriots look so bad and just struggle, and the Dolphins just bye, Coop. But the Dolphins just put them away pretty much with ease, and it was never really in question that game. So it was nice to see the Dolphins offense kind of doing what you thought they would do. And Tyreek Hill very involved. You had Jalen Waddle with the long touchdown, and had I think 5 targets. So it was nice to see Chase Edmonds was pretty involved. He does appear to be the lead back there. He outproduced and outtouched Raheem Mostert by quite a bit. So just nice to see them get out and go, and hopefully there'll be more of that, and Tua will continue to take care of the ball and find those guys and let them work. So,
yeah, and on top of all that, Loop, you, as a Dolphins fan, you had to be happy because the defense looked good too. I mean, it might have been, you know, inept play calling by New England, and quarterback getting injured might have had a factor in that, but your defense looked good too. And, you know, off of that week one performance as a Dolphin fan, you got to think you got hopes of winning that division for sure. So I like that call also. What about you, Linda? Because your team doesn't play till tonight. So what was the favorite thing that you saw?
Well, first of all, you started by describing this week as like cool. And there's just nothing happened in any of my fantasy leagues yesterday that I would like label cool. It was a pretty dark day, red wedding type day for my fantasy life yesterday. But I love seeing Rex Burkhead outtouch Dameon Pierce in Texas, because that was Rex Burkhead, even before they released Marlon Mack, was one of my favorite late round targets. So at least to start the season, he's gonna, you know, be all right for me. So I like that.
Reach.
And some of, and your release, bad. Like when some of your least your favorite analysts,
Rex Burkhead.
Some of your least favorite analysts are just gonna have to eat it.
Well, later, I mean, once he puts it on the phone.
I'll be honest with you, though, because, you know, Linda, talk about Burkhead. You and Kev, right off the bat, as the steam was going for Pierce, you and Kev right off the bat were like, I love the value that we're getting on Rex Burkhead. And you actually sold me, the two of you guys in the group chat, were like, look, he's going to catch passes. Like, whether he's involved early or not, I didn't expect, and I'm sure you didn't expect him to, you know, lead the team the way he did yesterday. But we knew he would at least get the touches, get the receptions, get, you know, some fantasy value as late as you were getting him in draft. So, I mean, that was a great call and added bonus seeing the usage that he's getting early in the season like that, right? Cool. Yeah, what about you, man? Oh, go ahead, Kev.
Oh, I'm just going to say,
I just, you were on Burkhead?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I did not expect, I expected Pierce to get like game scripted out, you know, with the Colts being up, but I mean, clearly that didn't happen. And, you know, I just did not see Burkhead getting like, what, 72% of the snaps, and like just his just dominance over that backfield. I mean, Pierce is going to have his weeks, but, you know, just right out of the gate, like expecting Pierce to just, the preseason is the preseason, and it's the preseason for a reason. They want to see what these guys have, you know, what they, how they can use these guys and what they have. But, you know, they just paid Rex Burkhead. They're going to give deference to the veteran.
Yeah. I mean, my process was like that this team is bad. They're going to be playing from behind often. I figured this week they would, and Rex Burkhead would get a ton of snaps. I didn't realize Rex Burkhead was going to be a locked in RB1. So yeah. Just turned out nice that way, dude. It's like when you go in for the process and then it turns out to be even better. That's a nice feeling.
Yep, absolutely. So what was your favorite thing you saw then, Coop?
Mine was Michael Pittman, man. Like, I gotta say that, you know, it's easy to be super, super excited about like Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp, but those guys, like, you didn't have a chance to, most people didn't have a chance to get them, right? Like, at least half of your league didn't have a chance to draft Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson. Every single person had a chance to draft Michael Pittman. Like, everyone had a second round pick and he was going in the third round. His ADP was like 33. You could have Michael Pittman right now if you wanted him. He played 98% of the snaps and ran every single route except one. And they played 92 snaps and he played them all. Like, Michael Pittman is that dude and Matt Ryan is good. So it's not going to be a huge problem. Now, we've not talked about Trey McKitty, Scamp, or any other tight end cats out there, but we'll get to it. We'll get to that.
But we are talking about some cool cats out there. Michael Pittman was definitely one of them. I mean, you love to see it, and you would look to see it. I'm curious, and maybe we'll get into it a little bit later, of who else is going to step up on that team, right? What other pass catcher? Because there was a lot of Alec Pierce hype, and he really did nothing yesterday. So, like, he was a late-round value type of
guy. Dropped a touchdown.
Dropped a touchdown, yep. That seemed to be a theme with rookie wide receivers yesterday, wasn't it?
Except for one.
That drop was painful, man. I imagine the entire Pierce family was grinding their teeth on that one, watching that.
Well,
one, man.
They might be taking a backseat to the Watson family, who follows me on Twitter. And I,
good lord,
painful.
At least Watson played, like, he played the most snaps of pretty much any wide receiver there. Alec Pierce,
yeah.
I don't know. Dude, the kind of sneaky play there, our boy Kylan Granson back on the menu.
Hey,
dude. Six targets, dude. He came out, he played, ran way more routes than Mo Alie-Cox. He ran 30, Mo ran 20. Mo blocked on 7 pass plays, 7 of 27. To quote a famous coach, Mo Alie-Cox, they are who we thought they are, right? Like, he came out and he was Jack Doyle 2.0. He runs like a 4.8, so he's kind of like Jack Doyle 1.0. Like, he's kind of like exactly Jack Doyle now, right?
Yeah, Jack Doyle never really left. He just assumed another a vessel.
Jack Doyle costume party.
But I was thinking about you yesterday, Coop, when I saw Granson out there so much, and I was like, oh, okay, this is happening. We didn't know if it was going to happen this year, but once we lost Doyle, we were like, okay, maybe that does open up a role for him. And it was good to see him out there. You know, we were a year early on it, but hey, that's why the Dynasty folks listen to us here on the Fantasy Besties, right?
Yeah, one thing I want to caution people on, that no one really talks about that much, but last year it was a huge thing early in the season too, is that these teams that play overtime games or like massive snap count games, those guys can be sell high guys a lot of times. Like, the average snaps for a team is like 60. So if, you know, when the Colts come out and play 92 snaps, everybody's going to be juiced a little bit. Like, last year, the Lions early in the season were playing a ton of snaps, like all these overtime games, everything. So just be careful with those high snap count games, because it's not always going to look like that.
Yeah, and the Lions played well. I mean, it was fun to watch that game. That was one of the things that I enjoyed watching was their running game and even their defense. They let up a lot of points, but, you know, their linebackers were fun to watch, and they got two high energy guys. You know, I'm going to talk about your guy, Linda, Malcolm Rodriguez. And even Alex Anzalone, who is a very underrated linebacker. I mean, I remember him playing against him when he was with the Saints, obviously playing against the Bucs. So those are two high-energy linebackers that aren't going to get the recognition that they deserve. But those are two high-energy guys that are all over the field. And as a former linebacker, I really enjoy watching those guys fly all over the field. So, you know, that was one thing I really enjoyed. But the thing that I liked the most was these guys that were pretty much not in existence last year, whether it's injury or poor performance, and they're back, man. They might be back. There was some really impressive performances, and Saquon Barkley is one of them. He went 18 for 164 in a touchdown, had 6 catches for another 30 yards. Michael Thomas, 2 receiving touchdowns. He only caught 5 passes, but he got 8 targets, caught 2 touchdowns, so it was a tale of two halves for him. He was kind of limited the first half and then just came out and hit it the second half. And even CEH, a guy that like we've never really been high on, and he only had 7 carries for 42 yards, but he had 3 catches and 2 of those were receiving touchdowns. So these are all guys that you are getting at a value this year in drafts because of their performance last year. And it might be a comeback. So Loop, let's start with you. Which of these performances do you think was the most impressive? And do you or don't you call it a comeback?
Yeah, I think Michael Thomas, after being gone for so long, he was turned out to be a tremendous value in drafts. We weren't sure what he was going to look like when he came back, if he was even going to play again at one point. We just weren't sure what it was going to look like. So he didn't even play a full snap share yesterday, and he had the 2 touchdowns. I'm sure his workload is going to increase as we go throughout the season. Jameis looked pretty good. The offensive line didn't look great. He got hit quite a bit, but he stuck with it. They had the comeback there. So it was really nice to see Michael Thomas. And if you got him as late as you were able to get him, I think you're pretty happy.
Absolutely. What about you, Linda?
Yeah, I think I agree with Loop. The discounts on the injured wide receivers, or like the wide receivers we weren't sure were going to produce at the same level, was not the same as the discount you were getting on Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley was at a discount, but at a much smaller one. So I have a lot of Michael Thomas, and it started off a little shaky. Like Loop said, he didn't run all the routes. He had 4 targets, but or 4 catches, but the 2 touchdowns helped. And I think you feel good starting him as long as he's playing the rest of the season.
That's a good point, because I didn't feel that confident starting him this week. I kind of wanted to wait and see. And there were a couple of leagues where I did draft a lot of wide receivers and I did leave him on my bench. So I was, you know, paying for that. So you're right. Now I think I can start him with confidence. What about you, Coop? Who are you calling a comeback?
Well, first I got to say, dude, it's not a podcast until Scampers and Craig are in the chat. And now it's a show, dude. Also, mods, can you please remove Mike Daddy's Home from the chat? Please, you know, just guards.
Nope. Mike is always
release the hounds.
Guards, release the hounds. No, he needs to be removed. He needs to be removed.
Seriously. Nope. Daddy is always welcome home on the Besties podcast.
Fine. So, dude. Like, it's Saquon Barkley, man. He's so very much back. And, like, there are so many people that need to apologize to all the idiots that went and drafted Saquon Barkley in their hometown league at, like, 4 overall. Like, dude, you just got the RB1 overall at 4. That's a pretty good pick, right? Like, that's the thing about ADP, man. Like, Saquon is back. He looks amazing. He looks phenomenal. Yoked, you know, stiff arms, catching passes, right?
Phenomenal.
Dog. Phenomenal. Dog. Right? Like, what else do you want me to say? He's clearly back, and he's awesome.
And what I love the most about him, Coop, is he's got nobody around him. Like, you know, if you look at Michael Thomas, at least he's got a semi-competent quarterback. He's got a star running back with him. But Saquon's carrying this team by himself to an upset victory. You know, Michael Thomas did get the win also, but it was a game they were expected to win. Saquon led his team to an upset victory. So that was nice to see. And it was nice to see him doing it as a pass catcher and as a runner. Yeah, Scampers. Curtis Samuel. We might be talking about Curtis Samuel a little bit later when we get in the waivers. But Kev,
I don't have daddy issues. I have one issue with one daddy. Look at this dude just trolling in the chat, dude.
Is it an Evan Engram problem, Coop? Do you have an Evan Engram problem?
I mean, he's got the Evan Engram problem now.
Right? Ah, it was all a ploy.
Sandbagging. Hey, Engram, I will say this. This will be the one time I talk about Engram on the show. He had caught 4 targets, 100% catch rate, much like yours truly at the Expo. And he also was pass interfered on a 15-yard pass. I was probably the only person in the country that was, like, you know, drunk on my couch being like, they interfered him. They interfered my boy.
And then following up with a tweet that he should get points for that.
He should get points for that, dude. He was wide open, bro. They had to cheat to stop him. They cheated.
They cheated. Kev, don't cheat us. What was yours? And who do you think is... Are you calling it a comeback or not?
But before I go into that, there's a comment from Green Screens Media that says draft a lot of wide receivers who would do such a thing.
Have you met
it's
Kev?
Me. I would do such a thing. And I'll do it again too. Anyway, so I drafted like 0% of CEH. I drafted like 2% of Michael Thomas just because, I mean, even the hamstring stuff in training camp was just enough to just spook me. So I really didn't get a lot of exposure. But if I was going to draft a running back, Saquon Barkley was going to be that guy usually at the 1-2 turn. I would take, you know, wide receiver and Barkley as an anchor. Saquon Barkley's freaking back, like 164 yards rushing, 30 yards through the air. He led the Giants in targets. I mean, this is the Saquon Barkley that we were hoping for, you know. Now he's got a Brian Daboll offense. You know, they went out and shocked the Tennessee Titans. I mean, I don't think anybody really saw that coming. With so much ambiguity with the Giants as far as, you know, their pass catchers. I mean, Kadarius Toney could barely get on the field. I mean, they're running out the corpse of Sterling Shepard, who still caught a touchdown. I mean, he looked pretty good. I mean, the single-digit swag is a real thing. But if this Giants offense is going to do anything, it's going to be on the strong, sturdy back of Saquon Barkley. We could be seeing a guy. I mean, Jonathan Taylor was a guy last season that we were drafting at, like, the 1-2 turn, and then he just ended up, you know, being the RB1. Could potentially be seeing that again with Saquon Barkley. I mean, we're always looking for the legendary running back season, and it's going to be the guy that, you know, is going to be putting up not only the rushing, but the receiving. And Saquon Barkley can absolutely carry an offense, can carry a fantasy team. It's Barkley. And as the kids say, it's not even close.
Who has Barkley in our fantasy besties league? Do you guys know?
Well, you drafted the dustiest trio of running backs in the
history. Who traded for Michael Thomas this offseason? What, dude?
Does your team need an AARP membership by any chance?
That's why I changed my team name to the Dusty Bunch, dude.
Well, hey, maybe you could beat me in the championship this
year.
We're
term life insurance and an affordable.
We're win now, baby. We're win now. If you have anybody 30 plus, dude, send them over, bro. I got picks to send your way.
Yeah, you hate your picks, dude. Coop sells his picks so quickly. But, I mean, look, all of them are good points. To Linda's point, you know, the discount that you were getting on Michael Thomas was a bigger discount than you were getting on Saquon. So I've loved Michael Thomas this year. I was getting him a lot in the fifth and the sixth round. And that was a guy who I was off all last year because I knew he wasn't going to play. I was saying it that even if he does get healthy, they're going to be out of contention. He's going to be a baby about it. He's not going to play. But this year, it looked like he was back. It felt like he was back. So to get the value on him in the fifth or the sixth round and to see he's back, that was great to see. And I got a lot of Michael Thomas that I'll celebrate that on. And Saquon is, I mean, to Coop's point, like he could be that top tier running back again. But I'll talk about CEH because nobody else did. He's a guy who you were getting in like the eighth round, the ninth round. Like people were like, no, you take him. No, you take him. Like, I'm not going to take him. You take him. And here he is catching two touchdown passes. And we spent this whole offseason going, well, Mahomes is not going to be the same because Tyreek's not there. And who's going to pick up the slack? Is it going to be Juju? Is it going to be Sky Moore? Is it going to be MVS? Is it going to be Mecole Hardman? Well, look at what happened week one. Two touchdown receptions for CEH. And nobody was thinking that was going to happen because he didn't show anything as a pass catcher last year. So if this becomes a trend, if this becomes a CEH as a pass catcher out of the backfield and Mahomes trusts him, that could be huge for anyone who drafted them there. So honestly, I would call it a comeback for all three of these guys. It was pretty exciting to see all of them, and hopefully they can keep it up because, you know, we like guys that can score points in this fantasy football world, don't we?
Literally never heard anyone say Juju the way you just did.
How'd I say it?
You said it like a French dude. You were like, Juju.
Is it going bonjour. To be Juju?
Bonjour.
I don't know.
Juju. Juju. Yeah.
We got a question here from Seth. Does he trade AJ Dillon and Pittman for Saquon or Dalvin? He's got CMC, Dillon, AJB, Pittman, and Sutton. So he'd be trading AJ Dillon and Pittman and acquiring either Saquon or Dalvin to pair with CMC. I mean, I would do it. What do you guys think?
I say do it. And like, if especially if it's a two wide receiver league, right? If you start two wide receivers rather than three, then I do it. But I mean, like, dude,
go get Barkley 100%.
Take one at CMC, bro.
Yeah, that's a pairing right there.
What?
I would do it, Seth. Pull the trigger, Seth. Go ahead. Do it up. Do it up.
You doing it, Linda? Are you doing that trade?
I mean, AJ Dillon's my running back one in a handful of leagues. So for you to be like, that's barren, I'm like, he's stacked, bro. Like,
right. Linda's like,
I would kill to have AJ Dillon as my RB one in like nine tenths of my leagues.
First of all, how dare you?
I really like Pittman, so that's tough for me. But Lord knows, I am not the dynasty. Like, I don't know if that was dynasty or not dynasty, but I probably keep Pittman, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Pittman played well, but I mean, you know, 92 snaps, quite a few there. Could be a good sell high moment. I mean, Pittman. I just said I like Pittman, but I also said sell him high. I'm just throwing out mixed things.
I know, but you drafted an entire PPR team of running backs, so your opinion is, of course, you want it.
You want to hear the craziest thing? That team, after Thursday night's game, I had two players who had played, and my team had negative points.
I started in one league. I started James Cook and Cam Akers.
That's what I had too. Yeah, negative. Yeah,
yikes. That was sick. Right. That was cool. My Scott Fishbowl team. My two running backs were Rex Burkhead and Amir Abdullah. So, and I'm gonna win.
Bro, my buddy, my in Scott Fishbowl, I'm playing against my buddy from. So it's like the Boston League. So we have people we know in there. I'm playing against my buddy. He has brain surgery on Thursday. And I hit up Scott Fish and I go, yo, this dude's got Corey Davis in his lineup over Justin Herbert. And Scott Fish sets his lineup for him because, you know, they're like doing surgery on his brain. Everybody, he's fine now. He's recovering. So we can make
fun of him. You know they're doing surgery on
his brain. Yeah, it's Boston. So it's like he's 4 days out for brain surgery. We can make fun of him. But, dude, so I do that for him. And then he beats me by 1 point. 133 to 132.
But he needed it more than you.
Should have left Corey Davis in there, dog. Should have at least waited to see if he like recovered, and then I would just be like, you know what, it's your own. You run your own team.
Right. Nope. No mercy.
But you have a heart.
Shout out Drew. Yeah. Shout out Drew. Meet Mansion 69 on Twitter if you want to follow him. He doesn't really tweet, and he only follows like thirst trap Twitter accounts. But you know, follow him for the memes.
Go ahead, Meat Mansion. Do your thing.
Just for the name.
Yo, I think it's not all put Mike's tweet up there. They know the Meat Mansion, dude.
Well, speaking of Meat Mansion.
I just want to say, I'm calling you out, Mike. Mike tries to be this like big tough guy, like, you know, mean Boston dude. But he anonymously donated $200 to Drew's GoFundMe, man, because he met Drew at the Scott Fish Bowl. So, Mike, we all know, you know, you're a little softy. You got a softy sweetheart. So thank you very much for that, Mike. You're a good dude.
But now it's not anonymous. You just outed him.
I can out him. He only did it anonymously because he didn't want to win and be my teammate for a draft, which would have been because he could have ended up being my Joe to my Pros with Joe's team, which would have been way funnier. Nice. But yeah, so appreciate you, Mike. You're a good dude, man.
Yeah, man. Mike's a really good dude. Mike's a great dude. We got to meet him over at the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton, and it was great to actually meet him. I know, you know, some of you guys have seen him before. Oh, look at that. Craig's going to be first this week in one of Linda's punter eliminators. Oh, my God. I didn't even check that yet. I'll check that tomorrow and see how bad my team looks. But my boy Riley Patterson was kicking some field goals yesterday, Linda, so I was happy. He did miss one, but he hit a couple of them.
Yeah, missed his first one, but he recovered. It was a tough day for kickers yesterday, and not just for kickers, but also long snappers and holders. It was pretty ugly on the special teams front, but we're going to adjust. We're going to tackle week two. It's going to be fine.
That's right.
Who the hell's Riley Patterson?
That's my kicker, man.
I'm just kidding. Look at Linda. Do the Zoom.
All right, so let's talk about some good performances then. But before that, let's get into a quick commercial break.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
No, I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about some great performances by some of the big-name quarterbacks. So there were some underperformers, of course, like we were just talking about with the kickers. And, you know, even some of the quarterbacks were a little underperforming. But I want to give you guys a pairing. And from that pairing, you got to tell me which quarterback you are most impressed by and which of them you like best moving forward. All right? So Josh Allen obviously lit it up Thursday night. 26 for 31, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns. Then Pat Mahomes came in yesterday and said, here, hold my beer. He went 30 for 39 for 360 yards and 5 touchdowns. Now, Linda, I know Josh Allen's your bae. He was the consensus number one quarterback in everybody's drafts pretty much, right? So is he still – I know he's still your number one, but is he still the number one, or did Mahomes do enough to show people why he was the number one?
I mean, I think that's probably a strictly personal opinion. I think Josh Allen is still the number one quarterback, obviously. He has a rushing floor that's insane. The stiff arm, I've been thinking about it since Thursday. I've thought about it every day. I will think about it for the remainder of the season, probably. But what Josh Allen's able to do is just insane on the ground. Plus, he has a cannon for an arm. Yes, Patrick Mahomes had a great week one game. I'm not taking anything away from him, especially considering I talked plenty of shit in the offseason. Okay, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I talked a lot of shit on the Chiefs and getting rid of Tyreek Hill and who the hell was going to step up in that role. And Mahomes came out and said, there's not going to be a number one wide receiver. It's going to be somebody different every week. Respect to him for like giving us a warning, I guess. But I'm still going to take Josh Allen. Other quarterbacks are going to perform better than Josh Allen this season. Kirk Cousins could have a better game than Josh Allen. And I'm not going to move Kirk Cousins to my QB1 because he outperformed him in 1 week. I'm still on my Josh Allen bullshit and probably always will be.
Preach. Preach, sis. That stiff arm, dude. Unbelievable, hot. Dude. That's, yeah.
I think I accidentally said.
The meme of like holding up the sign. Hot.
Hot.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't go wrong with either one of those guys, right? But, Coop, who would you say is the number one quarterback after watching the week one performances?
Dude, didn't you see that stiff arm? Like, it's Josh Allen. It's the mobility, man. Like, the thing about 5 touchdowns, dude, 5 touchdowns, cool. But that's living in the past now. Like, are you projecting to Patrick Mahomes to throw 5 touchdowns next week or on Thursday versus the Chargers? I don't know. Maybe. But we'll have to see. But I just – there's my number one quarterback is always going to be a mobile quarterback in my rankings. It's just always going to be like that.
It makes sense, especially looking at it from a fantasy perspective. You're going to get that extra points. If only you got points per stiff arm, I mean, forget about it. Yeah, all right, Craig.
You got points in my heart for that stiff arm. So it's really
exactly.
The only thing that matters.
Right. Exactly. Kev, I'll give you a fun one because there were a pair of second-year quarterbacks that squared off in a really sloppy game in Chicago yesterday.
How's that fun?
Because it's a fun conversation. The game was not fun, and it's definitely not the best game to judge anybody off of. But, I mean, Trey Lance did almost nothing. He threw 13 for 28 and had 13 runs, though, but only 54 yards. But he didn't have any touchdowns. But Justin Fields only threw the ball 17 times, and he completed 8 of them for 121 yards. But he did pass for 2 touchdowns. So he led his team to the win here. Which of these guys impressed you more? And do you still think that Lance is the better of the two moving forward?
Absolutely. Just based on the strength of the offense around him, I can't envision, you know, many winning scenarios for Chicago barring week one, but the Niners, I will get right. I don't think it's going to be a mucky quagmire like it was in Chicago, in San Francisco for week two when they host the Seahawks. That should be a fun game for every single weapon in that San Francisco offense. If Kittle is healthy, you know, great. But Lance should be able to. I'm not going to come out and just say it's a coming out party, but it's set up for that. I mean, we'll see what happens. But I'm firmly, you know, Fargo bias aside, I've got a window right there. If I say anything bad about Trey Lance, I might get a brick through it. But you know, even if that window wasn't there and I was not in Fargo, I would be pro Trey Lance from here until about eternity.
And I had a feeling you were going to say that because you've been a very pro Lance guy, even going back to his college days. So I had a feeling you were going to stay there. But Fields was pretty impressive yesterday, and I think he proved a lot of people that he could win a game that nobody thought that he could win. So, Loop, what about you? Do you still think that Lance is the guy over Fields?
This is honestly tough. I think I would go Justin Fields here, honestly.
Loop just defending everybody today.
No, and I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, Lance has the weapons, and he didn't have the weapons yesterday fully. Kittle was out. He lost Elijah Mitchell early in the game. It's a downpour. So, I mean, you got to kind of give him a pass on that, right? But something about them bringing Garoppolo back, if they go and they're 2-5 or they're, you know, something like that, and he's not really showing that progression, are we 100% sure that they will not bring Garoppolo in and try to save the season? I can't say that for sure. I think they'll give Lance every opportunity, but if they see that they're still in the mix and he's not getting it done and they just have Jimmy G sitting there, I think it's going to be hard for Shanahan and John Lynch and those guys who want to win, who are a game away last year from getting to the Super Bowl, to just say, okay, let's just, he's got to progress. He's got to learn. I mean, if they really feel like they have a shot to win it and he's not progressing.
you got to throw that out.
But yeah, so that's why I think the job security is the key thing for me with Justin Fields. And I think the talent is pretty on par with each other. I don't think one is light years ahead of the other guy when it comes to talent. Lance has the weapons, but I don't know if he's got the job security that Fields has. So I would take Fields, I think.
I'll go the opposite, actually. I don't think there's any scenario where the 49ers move off of Trey Lance. Just if there's one thing that a GM or a talent evaluator will not do, it's admit they're wrong. Look at Green Bay with Jordan Love. Like, they will not back off of that stance one iota. They traded 3 first round picks to be able to go up to number 3 to go get Trey Lance. I feel like there is no way that Jed Dork and John Lynch and all those guys, they're going to be admitting that they're wrong by taking Trey Lance out in year 2 in, you know, a handful of games, just because, you know, I feel like they have to kind of stay the course with Trey Lance. I mean, if they, you know, if he was like the 10th overall pick and they took him there and didn't have to trade up, I think that's one thing. But considering the capital that they used to go up to get Trey Lance, I think he has more security than people realize. I mean, who knows? Jimmy Garoppolo could be traded tomorrow to the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that could be a scenario where Jerry Jones is desperate as all get out to go get somebody for the next, you know, however many weeks Dak Prescott is out. But I think, just at least in San Francisco, I think you kind of have to give Trey Lance a longer leash, you know, just based on the investment that they made into him.
Yeah. I would like to push the narrative that social media bullied the shit out of the 49ers after they knew that they were going to trade up, and that the Mac Jones rumors were true, and that we just like bullied them until they were like, fuck, we can't take Mac Jones. We're going to get slaughtered online if that happens. So that's the narrative I'm choosing to believe. I realize it's a rumor. I'm kind of a fan. So I'm with Loop on that. You didn't ask me, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
You know, the 49ers are sitting there like watching the draft. And then when Saban's best friend Belichick took Mac Jones, they were like,
fuck.
We got played. I want to put up the trade question, because we had a trade question from Jack Lombard. He was asking that he's got Dalvin Cook and T. Higgins versus Austin Eckler and Gabe Davis in a standard league. So he wants an opinion on that trade. So you got Dalvin and T versus Eckler and Gabe Davis. It's one of those, I mean, to me, that's like one of those lateral trades that just seems to be trading for trading. I don't see an advantage on making that deal for really either side of that. What do you guys think?
I mean, in standard, I'd rather have Cook and T. Higgins. Like, that's the preferred format for those players. Like, standard, you know, like Austin Eckler's never had a 1,000-yard rushing season. He hasn't, like, in his career. In fact, he has a season with more receiving yards than he's ever had rushing yards. Like, that's just not his style, man. And I don't know, you know, I don't play in any standard leagues. I imagine that when you play in one, you have to, like, I don't know, like, what do you, like, send a letter to set your lineup? Like, you mail that in, or you, like, go to the local bar to do the
Pony Express.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you got it, Jack. My advice would be take the Dalvin Cook and T. Higgins side, and then petition your league to vote for like at least half PPR. Spice it up, my man. Juice it
and
up.
And then trade back for Austin Eckler.
And then get Eckler. Yeah. But for next season, move it into the future, Jack. Let's get some PPR going. Let's go.
So it wasn't all good this week, guys, and we did have some duds out there. So I'm just going to run through a bunch of them, and then I'm going to ask you guys which you're most concerned about. All right, so we got wide receivers and we got running backs on this list. Allen Robinson, goose egg Thursday night. Robert Woods, 1 for 13. Darnell Mooney, 1 for 8. Amari Cooper, 3 for 17. CeeDee Lamb, 2 for 29 last night. Everybody's draft season darling, Damian Pierce, 11 for 33, 1 pass for 6 yards. Travis Etienne, 4 rushes for 47 yards, 2 catches for 18. And then, of course, Cam Akers disappearing on Thursday night. All these guys were a cause for concern for a lot of their fantasy managers. Linda rolling her eyes right now tells me that she's got to have some of those guys in her lineup. But Kev, which of these guys are you the most concerned about, and which are you most optimistic about going forward?
The running backs. Do I have to be optimistic about any of them?
No. You could be both wide receivers for you.
I mean, I'm fine. You know, Travis Etienne, I'm fine with. I can't imagine a world where, you know, he's going to be taking a backseat to James Robinson the entire year. You know, Damian Pierce is very concerning just based on what we talked about with Rex Burkhead. And then Cam Akers, I mean, he pretty much took a full backseat to Daryl Henderson. ETN would be probably the only guy that I have some kind of optimism going forward for, with the Jags offense. I mean, I feel like they got to play it through. If they're going to play it through somebody, I feel like it's going to be ETN and then probably James Robinson too. I mean, maybe some Christian Kirk in there, but, you know, they drafted him in the first round for a reason. Granted, it wasn't his that regime, but, you know, I feel like you got to give him some run. I'm most concerned about is probably Damian Pierce, just for what we talked about before. He's going to have some usable weeks, but, you know, Rex Burkhead is going to be a barnacle, always hanging around. He's not going anywhere. So pump the brakes on the Damian Pierce hype train. You know, the trains, you can stop. Trains can't. That train. Yeah.
So Kev, you think that playing a 28% snap share on the worst offense in the league is bad?
It's not optimal.
Huh, okay, I'll have to jot that down then for all the zero Damian Pierce shares that I have. Actually, I think I drafted Damian Pierce at some point back in on an underdog in like August, May. When he was going pick like 179 where he should have been going. I do have him there.
Yeah. And I took him in like the ninth round in a random like charity best ball. And then other than that, yeah, it was like pick 150.
Well, my concern with that team is the guy that's running that and calling the plays. I mean, Lovie Smith is just, you know, he didn't like rookies to begin with. And it's funny because I was drafted, I guess it was Razz Bowl, Kevin. Was that the one that Wes was in with us and Wes was picking next to me? So I picked Pierce and he picked Mack. And he was like, Lovie Smith hates rookies. Lovie Smith's going to go with Marlon Mack. Then Marlon Mack got cut and, you know, he's like, oh, I guess I was wrong. But I had Burkhead also that I got later in the draft. And turns out, you know, Lovie does like his veterans. He's always liked his veterans. And, I mean, this guy just played for a tie coaching the Houston Texans. Like, everything that he's going to be doing can come with some question marks. So I don't fault you for being a little concerned about Pierce, Kev. But what about you, Loop? Who are you most concerned about there and who are you most optimistic about?
I'm most concerned about Cam Akers, to be honest. There was just no willingness to get him involved whatsoever. You had Darrell Henderson, which we all, not all of us, but a lot of zero RB drafters took him late, knowing that this was a possibility. like Kev. So it's just the lack of involvement whatsoever. He's in for very few plays. He gets three touches or whatever it was. It's just, so I'm gonna go with him, and I don't know that it gets any better moving forward.
I don't think your dog agrees with you, Loop. I think your dog really likes Cam Akers, and he's offended by you saying that.
He's getting Darrell pretty mad.
Henderson's got that dog in him.
What about you, Linda?
I think I'm probably most concerned about Allen Robinson, I'm not concerned about CeeDee Lamb. Listen, two catches on like 11 targets is bad. It's bad. But if he's getting the targets, I don't really care if he's not making every catch. It's just important that he's getting the targets. I'm not concerned about Darnell Mooney. I'm throwing most of that game out. I think there are certain things we could learn from it, but as a whole, a pretty poor game to like base any huge judgments on. And then as far as the running backs that you named, like I want to be optimistic for Etienne, but that being out snapped by James Robinson off of Achilles tear is concerning. Cam Akers, there's a clip of him literally moving out of the way of a block, which is like, you're not going to get on the field if you're like, just make him run over you. Even if you can't block the guy, don't jump out of the way. That's concerning. I think that probably affected how often he saw the field. And if he's not going to, are you leaving because I said I don't like Cam Akers? Now you're on your dog side, Loop, or what? But I'm concerned about how often he was on the field for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely concerning. I mean, there was a lot of things to be concerned about, and that was certainly one of them. It makes you kind of raise a red flag and you want to see what happens next week, right? What about you, Coop?
What are we talking about? Football? Sorry, I was looking at
that pot of coffee on.
Looking at DraftKings NFTs.
Oh, God, you're obsessed. Which of those guys are you most concerned about and which are you most optimistic about from the duds of yesterday?
My NFTs, dude, I'm pretty optimistic about the 75 Gerald Everett cards I have. It's time. It's happening. Pretty concerned about some of the Evan Engram cards that are now only worth a dollar. If we're talking about the players that you named 10 minutes ago, need a little refresher.
So you look at the wide receivers that had duds, right? You're talking about Allen Robinson, Robert Woods, Darnell Mooney, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb,
okay.
And then backs like Damian Pierce, Cam Akers, Travis Etienne.
I'll tell you the one I'm most concerned about is Kadarius Toney, who only played 7 snaps. Like he literally did not play. And the one I'm least concerned about is Devonta Smith, who had 0 points, but he played 62 of 65 snaps. He ran 98% of the routes. I think Devonta Smith is going to be okay. Just had a little bit of a tough matchup situation. You know, they had 4 rushing touchdowns. I don't think that's how it's going to pan out every week, right? So I think Devonta Smith is going to be okay. I wouldn't panic sell. I wouldn't drop him, but maybe you don't start him. But he played every snap, right? Like, I mean, Kev, this dude this week, may have set like the record all exercise team. I don't know if you check the stats out when you get a chance, because you're the all exercise team. You're the keeper of that list. This might be like an all time performance.
That was who again? I'm sorry.
Devonta Smith played 96% of the snaps, and he ran 98% of the routes that he didn't.
I could have sworn I saw him catch a ball. Like, I was watching that game, and there was a pass to the near sidelines that he caught. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember it coming back, but it must have came back, because, I mean, the stat lines have him not catching a pass.
Didn't catch it.
Because if you were smart, if I were smart, I wouldn't have put Devonta Smith as my stack partner with Jalen Hurts. But I did. So I know he didn't catch anything.
Well, adding insult to injuries, or adding injuries to insult in this case, Kev, take us through the significant injuries that we saw yesterday, because there was a bunch of them.
Yeah. My boy T. Higgins entered concussion protocol. Let's pour one out for my man, number 85. Certainly no timetable there. So got to go through the protocol if he wants to play next week. Keenan Allen with a hamstring injury, no timeline. They do have a short turnaround playing on Thursday against Kansas City. I would say he's probably not likely to be playing in that game unless something crazy happens. So hopefully the ghost of Mike Williams can reappear and actually do something this week, because he didn't do anything yesterday. Najee Harris tweaked his foot. Should be good to go against the Patriots. But we will see. It's pretty touch and go. Running back foot injuries, hashtag not good. So keep a tabs on that. Speaking of running backs, Elijah Mitchell sprained his MCL, probably going to miss about 6 to 8 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. So Jeff Wilson is probably the hottest commodity on your waiver wires. Maybe even a little TDP or Jordan Mason. If you miss out on Jeff Wilson, because as we know, the Niners backfield is as fluid as it comes. That's what she said. Dak Prescott, thumb injury, not good. We'll probably be seeing some Cooper Rush unless Jarrah wants to go get a quarterback, but he will probably be out until October, November. Mac Jones had back spasms reportedly during the game. Everything came out back normal, but that could be something just to monitor with old McCorkle there. And then TJ Watt. Coop is not liking Mac Jones, by the way. Sorry, buddy. TJ Watt, possibly a torn pectoral. He's going to go and get a second and third opinion, but prayers up for the defensive player of the year, TJ Watt. Bad news there for the vaunted Pittsburgh Steelers pass rush.
Yeah, and he knew it too. Dylan over Najee in half PPR next week, right? Well,
Najee has a high ankle sprain, bro.
Yeah, Najee probably not going to be out there anyway. So, Linda, who's the backup there that's going to be starting if Najee don't play?
That'd be Jalen Warren.
Oh, where'd he go to school?
That would be former Oklahoma State Cowboy Jalen Warren.
Yeah, right it is.
Yeah, former Oklahoma State Cowboy Jalen Warren. Pew, and pew.
Jalen Warren,
cement, dude, tough as nails.
From rugged, Oklahoma, for fuck's
rugged
sake.
Rugged as a tumble.
That's not how college works.
Jalen Warren, rugged as a tumbleweed.
Oh, my God. Close this down so I can go watch Russell Wilson swing fucking passes.
Yeah.
More miles in a Mississippi tree stump.
So Jalen Warren's definitely going to be a guy that you want to look at in waivers also, just like the guys that Kev mentioned, Jeff Wilson, TDP, Tyrion David Price. You're going to look at guys like Devin Duvernay, who scored 2 touchdowns, who could have a chance of actually sustaining some production in that offense, even though we didn't think they could sustain 2 wide receivers with Andrews. Got guys like Taysom Hill reemerging. Maybe if you're desperate for a tight end, if you drafted guys like Evan Engram or something and you want another tight end, maybe that's going to be a gimmick that comes back. Dontrell Hilliard scoring touchdowns, DeAndre Carter, Josh Palmer, if we're going to be missing time with Keenan Allen. You got Sterling Shepard, guys like EQ St. Brown scoring touchdowns. Guys, anybody that I'm missing that people should be looking for?
Do not touch Greg Dortch, because his role was pretty much what you'd expect out of Rondale Moore. If Rondale Moore is healthy, Dortch ran 95% of the routes and led the team in targets. Like, He's absolute fool's gold. It's a very good sign for Rondale Moore once he does get in the lineup. So he is one of those, let somebody else go take him just based on the week one. He is fool's gold. He is a trap.
Yep, absolutely right.
I need him to get back to returning punts so he can score me some points and draft the Giants. Way more valuable than that nonsense he was doing on offense, dude.
Right. Catching passes.
Cordarrelle Patterson is more valuable back when he's returning kicks. He's actually oddly worse now. Draft with Giants is the worst format, but I love it.
Chaos. You love chaos.
Bro.
And nonsense. Chaos is going to be the last game of this week, too, because we got Russell Wilson and his new team going back to his old home field to play his former team. I mean, what a storyline. NFL got this one right for Monday Night Football. So real quick, because we're up against it, the game's going to start soon. Loop, one thing you're looking forward to the most tonight, what do you want to see?
I want to see how the pass catchers in Seattle look with Geno Smith. How many targets are there for Tyler Lockett? How many targets are there for DK Metcalf? And can they move the ball at all? Are there going to be many scoring opportunities? I just want to see if those guys are still involved or if it's just a death sentence for those guys.
I love it. Kev, what about you?
I want to see if Cortland Sutton is going to be able to cash in his air yards after this game for actual tangible items, because he's probably going to have like 200, I feel like, against this defense. So I'm very excited to see the Russell Wilson, Cortland Sutton connection be very fruitful tonight.
Nice. Coop.
Always looking at tight ends, and we just saw Dallas Goedert get the second most targets after A.J. Brown, ahead of Devonta Smith, well ahead. There's a possibility with two of these guys. I mean, Noah Fant, Albert Akwaebunam, new quarterback, new coaching situations to a certain degree. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like today, the week one's where we kind of find that out, you know, so we'll see.
Coop always landed on tight end somehow. Linda, don't tell me it's kickers. What are you looking forward to the most?
I'm looking forward to a competent fucking quarterback throwing the football to the Denver Broncos.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
You deserve it, Linda.
Personally, I do. I manifested this, honestly.
I think you truly do.
I brought
do.
This to fruition.
You do. You do deserve it, Linda. And I hope you enjoy it. And I hope he pays off for you, because I have him in a few leagues. My wife actually drafted him in both of her leagues. So Russ is her guy. And when she took him in the second league, I said, Linda's going to be so proud of you. So Raina's going to be rooting along with you all year, rooting with Russ. I'm going to be looking for Rashad Penny to make it out of this game healthy. And every game I watch this year from Seattle, I'm going to be looking for Rashad Penny to make it out of the game healthy, because I have a ton of Rashad Penny, because he was the guy I was drafting as my RB3 as I went running back, hammered wide receivers, and then came back in the eighth or ninth round and was grabbing Rashad Penny. So that's my guy that I have a ton of shares, and every game he plays, that's what I'm going to be looking for, is for him to produce and for him to get out safely.
I'll see you in the second quarter when he gets hurt.
Shut up, Linda.
Text the group chat. Fuck.
Shut up, Linda. I'm that gif of the girl shaking her the little wavy thing at you right now.
Definitely a breath.
All right, let's wrap it up. Let's go watch the game. Russell Wilson's a dork.
Yeah, this was awesome, guys. This was great to be back with the besties. Thank you to the audience, everybody who came in to watch, anybody who joined in the comments. Thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you to Razzball for hosting us on the YouTube page. Make sure you check out the Razzball YouTube. Go over to Razzball.com. You could find their written stuff and also our podcast right there. You could find us on the Fantasy Besties Twitter page at Fantasy Besties over on Twitter. Thank you guys for being here with us. Besties, it was so great hanging out and kicking it with you. I did just say Twitter, didn't I?
Twitter.
Luke and I both went Twitter.
Juju.
I heard it as I said it.
Hey, so how's your family?
My Twitters and my Juju's.
Hey, Juju. I'm walking here. Where's the Twitter?
For Kev, for Linda, for Coop and Loop, I'm JB Barry. We're the Fantasy Besties. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Monday.
Go Broncos.
Toodles.
Out. That was fun, guys.
I love good scampers. Russ.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.